hope, peace, love, joy. These are the thematic weeks of Advent, our season of preparation for Christmas. Though hope, peace, love, and joy, those words in that order are anything but definitive. Some churches actually assign a different nativity character to each week or candle. The one week you look at Joseph or the shepherds or Mary or the angel. In fact, you've seen some of that work through with our star guide during children's time as the kids have looked at each of these different characters. Though other churches use the same four themes of hope, peace, love, and joy, but in a different order. A great deal, and by a great deal I mean pretty much almost every church, it seems, celebrates joy on week 3 and love on week 4. But not us, because we're different. I like to build toward joy. I like joy to be week number 4, because hope is where we begin. And then, as the season starts rolling, peace begins to ground us. And once things really get going and we get centered, and right as we really get into things, the swing of things, then we focus on love. All of it building, the hope, the peace, and the love, all of it building to joy. And joy is where we arrive right before Christ's arrival. I truly believe we must be driven by hope and grounded in peace and filled with love to fully experience the joy of Christmas. Because the culmination of the Advent story is just that, joy. Hear these words. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." That holy night, on which God invited humanity to let our souls feel their worth, on that holy night, the message from the angels was good news of great joy. A message so powerful that we, just like the shepherds, should be taken aback by its power. It's actually the inspiration for the lyric in O Holy Night, "Fall on your knees and hear the angel voices." For on that night divine, on that night when Christ was born, the power of that good news was for all people, and it brought the world to its knees. So let us hear those angel voices once again in our lives this day. What are the angels saying? Well, it starts with "Do not be afraid." This is an essential part of the Christmas story. And if you've ever been around at Christmas or Easter with me, you've heard me visit and revisit this point. But so do the angels. That's why I do it. Nearly every time an angel appears in our scriptures, the first words are always some variation of "do not be afraid." This is not because angels are scary. Surprising, maybe, but not scary. Angels open with the words "do not be afraid" because they are observant watchers of human behavior and our human condition. We, humanity, are fearful. This is not what God wants. This is not how it should be. And that's why the opening line of every divine angelic encounter is, "Do not be afraid." And after those essential, instructional, invitational words, we then receive the reason for the specific angelic visit. A marvelously described message. Good news of great joy. What a description. What a way to describe the message you bring. I bring you good news of great joy. Imagine the shepherds falling to their knees at the sound of these angel voices, just awestruck, looking at one another. God's sending us joy. That's awesome. It's incredible. But I wonder if there wasn't at least one shepherd in the crowd who was a bit of a realist. Yeah, great, joy. Joy? There's like a happy feeling? We're getting some kind of excitement? Shh, the multitude of the heavenly host are praising God. Just go with it. But it seems like a pretty vague word. I mean, they said good news, which already sounds positive, so why does it need to be good news of great joy? Is the good news about joy, or is the good news a reason to be joyful? I'm like, hey, wait up! Where are you going? Bethlehem? Really? Okay, we'll figure this out later. We really should figure this joy thing out. For a word that gets used quite regularly, especially this time of year, it's surprising how little we actually know about joy. What is joy, this gift that we are being given? I think it's very important that we start by describing what it is not. Joy is not happiness. Happiness and joy are two very different things. Happiness is a feeling, one of our core emotions. Joy is a response. You see, feelings and responses, very different things. Feelings are these deep, hardwired, primitive parts of who we are. Anger, disgust, fear, happiness, sadness, and surprise. These are deep emotional feelings. The thing about feelings is you cannot negate them. You can't just rationalize them away. Oh, I shouldn't be feeling this. You can try. I'm sure we all have. I shouldn't be feeling this. I don't need to. There are reasons not to be feeling this, and yet we still feel those feelings. In fact, there are plenty of reasons we might not feel happy. We may feel disappointed or frustrated or sad. We might be grieving the loss of a person, the loss of a dream, the loss of a relationship. And yet our feelings are what our feelings are. If we are happy or not is not always within our control. But joy is different. Joy is how we react, how we respond, how we appreciate the world around us. We can look for, we can choose, and we can even create joy. That's part of the good news. We can become joyful people. There's a great book that came out recently, written by an employee of Google, an engineer named Meng. Now, Meng was one of the early people at Google, and there's this great story about him. A bunch of his colleagues, they all applied to become fellows, right? Such an academic environment at Google. It was a very big deal to be named a Google fellow. And his friends got picked, and he didn't. So when it came time to do his business cards, he just jokingly filled out the little form for the print shop and said, Meng Teng, jolly good fellow. They printed his business cards. He started handing them out. The New York Times picked up the story, and Google said, you know what? We love it. Go with it. And so ever since, he's been Google's jolly good fellow. And he's the person who started their mindfulness initiatives. He's an engineer. He thinks in a way, my brain just does not work, and yet somehow found his soul drifting to the work of mindfulness and began the work at Google to teach people, engineer people, how to be mindful and connect with something bigger that you can't just draw out or explain. He started their initiative called Search Within Yourself. And his newest book is called Joy on Demand. It is really good. You should get a copy. In it, he articulates how we as people need stimulus-free joy, meaning that we need joy that comes from within us instead of joy that tries to be based on things outside of ourselves. His whole process for achieving this actually takes a book to describe, but there are a couple points that fit really well in Advent. One of the primary steps he talks about to reaching joy, and I love this phrase, inclining our minds toward joy. We're invited to do that, to incline our minds toward joy. He uses some very beautiful ancient texts and imagery to define this phrase, because it sounds good, but we should at least know what it means. Inclining our minds toward joy, he describes it as the slant of a mountain that allows water to flow freely. It's that inclination that allows the water to move. And so if we might incline our minds toward joy, we will find joy freely flowing into our lives. You see, inclining our minds is about awareness. It's about looking for joy. He draws a parallel to looking for blue cars on the road. Blue cars are everywhere, all the time. There are always blue cars on the road, but chances are you may not have actually seen one recently, because you weren't looking for them. But if you were to get in your car, and before you turn the ignition, if you were to think to yourself, I wonder where I will see blue cars today, I guarantee you, you're going to see a lot more blue cars than you could ever imagine. It's the same with joy. if we start our day asking, I wonder where I will see joy today, I guarantee you, you will see more joy than you can imagine. Incline your mind to joy. This is what God was doing at Christmas. God wasn't just inclining our minds toward joy. God used Christmas to incline the entire world toward joy. Through the arrival of Jesus, God is tilting the whole world toward joy, inclining us to look and see this holy, divine presence that is and brings joy. God is interrupting our lives with good news of great joy that can take us aback so that we actually notice. Because once we notice, we're more likely to see it. Now, Meng, in his book, he then invites this growth that first we need to notice. And once we begin to notice joy, we need to then attend to joy. Attending to joy. The idea that we might be present with it. This is another place this wisdom of joy aligns with our scripture. Hear about the attending to joy. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. The shepherds attended to the birth. Now hear the nuance of these words. The shepherds did not attend the birth. They attended to the birth. The shepherds did not watch the King of Kings crown. They did, however, bring themselves... you caught it. Good. Okay, somebody did. They did bring themselves fully into the presence of what was happening in that evening. They attended to what God was doing. They attended to joy in a barn. Such an ordinary, unexpected place. But they saw joy there, and they became present to it and attended that moment. We are invited to do the same, to fully attend to moments of joy in ordinary places in our lives. Just like Jesus shows up in the barn, joy will show up in the strangest of places in our lives. And I want to share with you some examples from this book. Here's some of the list he offers. At each meal, attend fully to the enjoyment of at least the very first bite of food that you eat. When seeing a loved one, take a moment to appreciate that he or she is there and attend fully to the joy of being in their presence. When holding hands with a loved one, take one moment to attend fully to the joy of contact. When taking a shower, attend fully to at least one moment of the enjoyment of how water feels on the body. When relieving yourself in the toilet, attend fully to at least one moment of the pleasure of relief. I did not edit that one out because I think it fully, if not comically, emphasizes the incredibly ordinary places that we can attend to joy. We need to look for joy where we can find it. And if the shepherds found joy in a stable, if we can find joy in the most basic of human functions, then joy cannot be taken away from us, whatever life's circumstances. Attending to the small moments of joy opens us to greater joy. The change that occurs within us when we attend to joy is described this way. When we attend to the small moments of joy, what appears to be painful in life will become less painful. Things that used to be neutral can become joyful, and what was already joyful will become even more joy-filled. To me, this is the gift of joy at Christmas. Christmas does not fix every problem in the world. Some of us might even name that it seems to bring a few more at times. Christmas doesn't fix every problem in the world, but because of Christmas, the painful can be less painful. Things that were just neutral and existed suddenly can be filled with joy, and what already was joyful can become even more so. The good news of great joy spoken by those angel voices was an intentional disruption of life to incline us to see joy in more places, that we might claim our ability to create joy so that we're not dependent on what can feel like very uncaring whims of the world around us. That way life can't knock us down because we've already fallen to our knees in awe of the joy that is all around us. God offers this gift of joy because you are worthy of experiencing and knowing joy in life. Your soul is worth good news of great joy. Amen.